language. You know, Joe Giordano's here. I remember him in Jersey City, but he's lost his accent. He's a confirmed Southerner, isn't he? Well, maybe there's hope. At any rate, we'd like to tell you a little more about CMML, show you some slides as well. Sam mentioned the fact that when you send your gifts in, they go 100% to the missionary. We'd also remind you that when you send your gifts in, they are technically sent to CMML. That's where the government allows you the tax deduction. You send your suggestion along, and we forward the funds to the missionary you suggest, unless we are unable to do so, and then we come back and contact you. We never redesignate any funds that you send to us for Mr. A or Mr. B. We never send them to anybody else. We always write back and ask. And we never, as Sam mentioned, take anything for our expenses. Even people say, use this where you see fit. We're very hesitant. We don't take anything for expenses unless people say, take 10% or 5% or $10 or $1,000. That's kind of like things like that, but we do have them. Now, in 1971, when the present CMML was formed, while we were looking around for a place to move out of New York City, Voices from the Vineyard had been over on Park Row and then up on Lafayette Street, and that wasn't too well. The Fields and the CMML Limited, when they met, they were over on Hudson Street in an area where it wasn't too pleasant for people to come and go, and the ladies that were helping out in the clothing center were not too happy to arrive there. The missionary home was in Union City. It was right above the exit and the entrance to the Holland Tunnel, so the fumes were fantastic. It was not exactly a pleasant place to be. They're looking around for a place to move to, and the Lord has provided this wonderful place we have down in Wall Township, which you'll see in the pictures. We purchased it for $250,000, and it's all paid for. It was all paid for by the Lord's people in about 4.5 years. Now, CMML, as Sam mentioned, is perhaps best known for its handling of funds. A lot of people that we talk to say, well, why do I have to send my funds through CMML or MSC or anybody else? Well, you don't have to. Nobody says you have to, but it's just a good idea. Missionaries will tell you it's a good idea. They're writing back and telling the people, please send your funds through CMML. They have lots of reasons. One reason is lost mail. Mail disappears very rapidly in some countries around the world. Particularly significant is the loss of mail in South America. Many letters never reach the people in South America, and lots of them from South America never reach us. There is one country that's been reported to us. The missionary knows what happens. He saw it happen. The mail load was too heavy, so the local postal authorities burned it. That's the best way of delivering it. Now, that's a crime in this country. You'd go to jail for it, but that's the way the government took care of it in one country. And so, you may send your missionary a check, and you'll be sitting home waiting for a letter of acknowledgement, and you wonder why he doesn't write. You're never going to send him another nickel. And he's sitting down there and wondering what he did to offend you, why he hasn't heard from you. And it's all lost. Well, if you send through us, we send you that very valuable tax receipt, which really increases the amount of the funds that you're able to give. And we send to the missionary at the end of each month a statement showing the names and addresses of the donors and how much they receive from each one for their missionary project. And we number those vouchers. So if the missionary gets voucher number 14 and hasn't had number 13, he knows something's lost. He can write back to us right away. Very easy to send them a new statement since we have photocopiers these days. And if perchance there was a check-in, it's usually time enough to get a stop payment to the bank and send along a replacement check. Then there are places in this world where it's very expensive to cash a check. Well, also very difficult. You walk into a local bank, I don't know what it's like down here, but you try to cash a check up home if you don't have an account in that bank. They don't even want to see you or know anything about you. Well, they have that same trouble overseas. And on top of that, they are really charging them fees. Even in the third world, they're learning the ways of the West. And they're charging for everything. Missionary was charged $15 to cash a check in West Germany. They get charged all over. It happens in this country. One of our home workers got a $20 check in Canadian money. He mailed it to his bank. They charged him $5. The bank in Canada charged him $5, and then he lost 20% on the exchange rate, so he got less than $10 for his $20 gift. Now, those $5 charges, they're now $10, but they're the same whether it's $100 or $1,000. Because of our relationship with the bank we deal with, there are no charges for those things. So the missionaries, if they're wise, and most of them are, just endorse the check if they get one like that and send it over to us and have us deposit it for them, and they save all those fees. And then most of the missionaries keep their money in a bank in the States. Therefore, they can control themselves as to how much they take into the country. If they do have to pay to cash a check, they'll only cash as many as they have to, one a month, some of them one every 2 months. They can also find out how long it takes them to get their money. You don't get immediate credit in a lot of places when you take your check. Rocky DeYoung from Korea the other day told me the first time he took his Chase Manhattan check into the Chase Manhattan branch in Seoul, he had to wait 40 days before they'd let him use his money. So that takes careful planning on your finances. But the more they get to know you and the more they develop the relationship, why, the easier it becomes. And most of the missionaries will have an independent bank account in the country and where they're living, and then they'll just transfer the American currency over as they need it. Then there are some countries like Zaire where it's illegal to have American currency, and you just can't have it. I haven't told this in a while, but there's one young lady over there that wrote to us and asked us to speak to a dear sister and ask her to stop sending me that $10 bill every month before I go to jail. She had written to the sister and asked her not to do it, but the sister felt she really wanted to do it, thought she was just trying to save her money. But the problem was that she was not allowed to have that money, and she's afraid to get caught with it. The way we handle money in Zaire, and this is going on for Lyndon Sheridan, who's over there now, and for Bill Deans and Bob Watt and Dina Spearing and Sally Deans when she's over there. The missionary will tell us how much money they think they're going to need in Zaire, and we will transfer that to the account of the medical work over there or the account of the printing work, the CME, the Editions Evangelique, and we'll put that money in their bank account in the Standard Bank in New York City, write them a letter and tell them how much has been transferred, and they will give that money in local currency to the missionaries in Zaire, and they have the money that they need to pay for the things that they have to purchase over there. This does double duty because it gives the Editions Evangelique and the CME funds outside the country so that when they have to buy paper and they have to buy medicine, they have to buy ink, they have funds that are in this country and they can use them readily to purchase material anywhere in the world where they need it, whether it be the United States, England, Germany, or wherever. So it's very beneficial to them. So that's a good reason for sending it through to us. You can still send to them directly if you like. There's no law against it, but it just is not a good idea. Now, we send out about 600 checks a month, 600 remittances a month. And you go through the handbook, you don't see that many American or even American and Canadian names in there, which gives you indication that we send to a lot more fundamental evangelical missionaries and home workers. We handle funds for anybody that has an assembly commendation and for other fundamental evangelical works. Should an individual Christian ask us to send money to somebody who's associated with Missionary Aviation Fellowship or Wycliffe Translators, we do pass it along. It must go to their organization in accordance with their instructions, but we do pass it along for them. And if somebody only wants to get one receipt and they want some money sent to a home worker, we'll send to them. Then there are those that are acquainted with missionaries that are out from Ireland or England or Scotland or Australia, and we will pass along funds to them as well. We have a very good going relationship with Echoes of Service. I don't know who's on the losing end the way the pound is bouncing around, but we don't exchange checks anymore. It was getting too expensive, particularly in England, so that all we do is debit and credit each other on our books, and we settle up periodically. I have a feeling it would be a good time for us with the pound down about $1.54 to pay our bill. But we don't want to be unfair to them either. We have had occasion to assist the missionaries with our contacts in a way that they wouldn't be able to do on their own. Recently, Connie Bear was in Taiwan, and he had an opportunity to get some hymn books printed and to get them into Hong Kong to be taken into China at every opportunity, and he had a good price, but he found out he got a better price if he could immediately get some U.S. dollars in Hong Kong. If he could pay the printer in United States dollars, he got a much better price. So we called our bank in New York, and very obligingly, they sent a money transfer off or a cable transfer. And believe it or not, Connie had his money in 2 days. And I forget the fantastic amount of money he saved just on that hymn book. And then Dr. Bud Morris, recently gone out to Zambia, wanted to buy a vehicle. He's got five kids or six, five boys. Need a little vehicle for getting around over there. And he found out he could get a very good deal and a good price and get it in a hurry if he bought a Japanese car and paid for it in yen in Zambia before the end of that particular month. Well, again, we called upon our banking counterparts, our connection, and they cabled the yen, or gave us a Japanese yen check in this case, and we mailed it right over to Bud Morris, and he was able to take care of that. That's just some of the ways that we help in the financial way. And it's not a small enterprise. It's not a small amount of money. I first joined the fields in 1968. Been working for a bank in New York. Well, I went a long time at that time, but I was down there on Wall Street, and they asked me if I wouldn't join them so I could be with them at their business committee meetings at lunchtime when they distributed the unallocated funds once a week. And at that time, if we had $250,000, we thought it was a big year. Last year, our fiscal year that ended last March, we processed through the office over $5 million, $4.5 million of contributions from the Lord's people and assemblies to various missionaries around the world. So it's a heavy responsibility. We're very grateful to be able to have a share in it. In 1976, the directors asked me if I wouldn't consider taking early retirement and coming down and, in addition to being treasurer, be full-time office manager. Well, it was an important decision to knock a few points off your pension, et cetera, and whatnot, but I did it. It's the best decision I ever made. I'm very happy. My wife comes down, the office comes down. We don't go home nights anymore. We stay there. We take one of the rooms, go home weekend, and we just enjoy ourselves tremendously in the service of the Lord down there. Now, you can help us when you send funds if you tell us who you want the money to be used for, what missionary project, and tell us clearly and plainly. Don't say for the Hawkings in Peru. There's a lot of Hawkings down there. We used to have problems with some other names, the Nelsons. We had them, but that's taken care of. So say who you mean, and say it clearly and, legibly, and I'm the last to talk because I have a terrible handwriting. It's very hard sometimes for the girls, the ladies, to figure out who you really want your money to go to. So please write it clearly and plainly. And when you give us your return address for your receipt, remember that's also the name and address that's going to the missionary who's going to write to you. So be sure that's clear and plain and has a zip code. If you're using a rubber stamp, be sure we can read it. Sometimes we can't. And don't just scribble your name up in the corner of an envelope. Help us out and tell us what your address is. And then another way you can help us, this didn't used to be a problem, but it's gotten to be in the last year or two. When we get a check in and a letter, we really don't know who the gift is from. People are being conscious of having someone else on their checking account with them. So we'll get checks with mother and son on it, with mother and daughter, with grandmother and mother and maybe a brother or something on it. So it's not safe really to take the name off the check. And sometimes they'll just sign the letter and say that this is from Mary Brown. So we'll put down Mrs. Mary Brown, and back will come a letter, that gift was from my husband and I. Why didn't you say so? Well, we don't know. But then if we go the other way and somebody signs it Joe Brown, and we say this is from Mr. and Mrs. Joe Brown, and this happened. Man wrote back, said, there never has been and there never will be a Mrs. So-and-so. So we have to be careful. So help us out with anything you can like that. Give us a good indication of which missionary project you want it to go to. Remember, our missionaries do not get these funds for their own personal use. The missionaries get these funds for their missionary project. They are self-employed. They keep records and pay their comparable to Social Security tax, a self-employment tax, based on the amount of money that they use for their own individual needs, not on the money that they use in the missionary project, not on the money that Bill Deans uses to buy paper and ink or Bob Watt uses to buy medicine, but on the funds that they use. But they're all sent to them for their missionary project, and remember that and keep it in mind. And then in our magazine, we let you know every month how much money was received 2 months prior to that and what amount was received for expenses. Sam has mentioned the fact that all our expenses are met by contributions, but we have to say, too, that the high interest rates and careful management of our funds have enabled us to keep ahead these last few years. We're very grateful for that. The interest rates are going down. We're thankful for that, but it cuts down some of the funds we have available for special projects. but we're very grateful to see this happening. We also send out cassettes to the missionaries. There are a lot of missionaries that love to get cassettes. Some of them are alone on the field, and they haven't heard somebody minister to them in English in a long time, and they're very happy to get some good, sound ministry on cassettes, and so we like to send those out as well. And then we help the missionary in other ways. Sam mentioned the guarantees to the government. You know how fussy our own government is about foreigners coming in and taking jobs that belong to Americans. Well, other countries are like that as well. And we have to give letters of guarantee saying that we know Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, they're fully accredited missionaries, serving in association with CMML, not under CMML, as Sam has emphasized, but serving in association with CMML, and that we will be responsible for their maintenance while they're in their country and for their repatriation to the United States should this ever become necessary. In the case of Japan, we have to do that for the missionaries at least once every 2 years. Some other countries, you give it to them once, and that's it for eternity, I suppose, but you never hear from them again. We help them with getting their visas. We help them in purchases they want to make at home. We help them with packing if we can. You'll see one slide tonight of some stuff going out to Nyankunde. We'll tell you something about that. We help them with getting vehicles into the country. Do you know if you take a vehicle into Africa, every country you drive it through wants you to post a bond of 100% of the value of the vehicle. If you go to South America, it's 200% bond for the amount of the vehicle. We deal through the AAA and get what they call a carnet, something or other in French. And that allows you to drive across these borders. And we have to post a letter of credit as collateral for 100% of the value of the vehicle and pay a small fee. But this enables them to drive the vehicle over all the borders as necessary. And then when the vehicle is finally registered in their name, they can return it, the papers to us, and the carnet is released, and so are our funds. And it's a great help to them. We have a clothing center. You'll see some pictures on that. And this is a big help. And we would say to the home workers, if you're in the area, you're eligible to use those facilities as well. Any of our commended assembly workers are welcome to the clothing center or to visit at the home. And this clothing center is a great help. We're very appreciative of the folks that send cash contributions for this, because some of our ladies are very good outlet shoppers. I shouldn't say that. This is the outlet capital of the world, isn't it, or someplace around here. But they do very well in acquiring the things that they don't like to give to the missionaries secondhand, like ladies' lingerie and men's underwear and stockings and things like that. Those are all new, but they're very doing a good job at getting those things. And in our clothing center, we get a lot of material, a lot of clothes sent in to us, some very fine, some not so good. Our motto is, if you wouldn't wear it yourself, don't send it to us. The missionary is not a second-class citizen. The Lord's servant demands and needs and deserves just as good clothing or better than any of the rest of us. Some packages come in, the buttons are missing, the zippers are cut off, they're stained, they're filthy. Somebody must think we're in the old clothes business. But many lovely, fine packages come in, and the missionaries are thrilled at the way they're able to be taken care of. If you're interested in sending anything to the clothing center, send it by United Parcel. It's faster, it's cheaper, and they deliver it to the front door. If you send it by U.S. mail, it's slower, costs more. And when our girl goes to the post office, they have to carry it out. Now, David Pollock is here. His mother-in-law worked with us for several years. And when she went to the post office with a sweet little face and a gray head, and there was a big box, the mailman carried it out for her. Now, Muriel's not that much younger. She doesn't have gray hair, and nobody ever offers to carry the box out for her. So she's going to get herself a white wig. See how it works out. Then Sam mentioned the Ministry of Information. Mentioned again the magazine. Is there anybody here that doesn't get it, would like to get it? We have some slips in the back. Just give us your name and your address and your zip code, and we'll see that you get it. And you know, you have your missionary prayer handbook. This is all the missionaries commended by the assemblies of the United States and Canada that have gone out just under assembly auspices. And every month when you get your magazine, the first thing you do is pull out the centerfold, Know Your Missionaries, and keep up to date. When you use the handbook and the Know Your Missionaries, you'll really be able to pray for the Lord's servants. And then if they come visiting you in your area, you'll be able to look them up and know something about their work. Then we publish other booklets. All of you home workers that were here, if you were fortunate enough to get one of the packets, you see some of them. One that we give out that we are very happy to be able to distribute was written by your own Harold McKay, and that's Biblical Financial Principles. That's in about its fourth printing, I guess, and it's going very well. There are even other missionary organizations that write to us and ask if they can have copies of that booklet. That's also true of Ken Fleming's booklet, Getting to Grips with Mission, which has to do with the culture change across cultural implements. And so we have conferences, as Sam mentioned. We seek to help in so many ways. I want to show you the pictures. I can't talk too much longer. We have a disaster fund that was set up after the trouble in Guatemala, when we decided it would be good if we had a few dollars on hand so when something happened, we'd be able to act immediately. This has been used very wisely in many areas. Not too long ago, less than 2 months, a call from Carl Johnson in Burundi, or from Harry on behalf of Carl. His father was there with him. They had some terrible rains and floods, and there were 100 families that were homeless, and there were 200 families whose farms had been wiped out. And we were able, in association with the Missionary Service Committee in Canada, to put $10,000 in Carl Johnson's New York bank account that day, so he was able to start writing his checks on it immediately. And we're very grateful for the Lord's people that contribute to that fund. Then we have a Missionary Education Assistance Fund. This is set up to help the children of missionaries with their education through high school. We don't even meet all the needs for that. It's too bad we don't have enough to help with college expenses as well, but we don't. And folks at home have a problem putting their kids through college as well. But we do have the MEAF, which assists the missionaries with the education of their children through high school. Then if anybody wants to talk about wills or things like that, we're always ready to discuss that. And well, we're very thankful to be a part of CMML. We'll probably tell you more as we show you the pictures. We have published a little booklet. If you want to have a missionary conference and you're not quite sure all the things that's involved, we have a missionary conference planning kit that just outlines for you some of the steps. The planning of the meeting, a sample program, the participants' job descriptions, all of these things, thoughts about workshops and registrations and that, just to help you plan a missionary conference. Remember, too, that when you send us any mail, any of the stamps, go back into the Lord's work through Work It Together, and some assemblies and some individuals very carefully send us commemorative stamps every time. No matter what stamp you send to us, it's used, and please be sure you drop it down from the corner and in from the edge so that it doesn't get destroyed in any opening of the envelopes by mailing machines or by hand. But all those stamps go back into the Lord's work. We're very grateful to be able to have a share in that. I think I'd better stop now and talk to you as we show the pictures. If we could have the lights. Is this mic on here?
Yes.
Yep.